ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Praise the Lord. As I praise the Lord, Matthew chapter 16, I titled this, The Local Church. I read from verse 14, let me pick it from verse 13 in context. It said, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you, that is the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should not tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. You may ask why. Because the church hasn't begun that. You know, it was just a description of the power and the authority that has been invested in the local church. So the local church is the only institution that will last forever. The local church. Last week, I said the local church is the grant and the pillar of truth. So the local church, anywhere you find the local church. I remember I grew up in a vicarage. If you belong to the Anglican Communion, you will understand that. Some of those churches have been around for even before the independence, and they are still there. So the church is the only institution that will last forever. In Mark chapter 13, verse 31, Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away because the church is founded on the word of God. The church is founded on the revelation of who Jesus is as the Son of the living God. The church is the family of God. So wherever you find a local church, I mean, in places like China, what they have is underground church. They don't even carry Bible. They don't have a description like we have today. I'm going to Lighthouse. I'm going to Redeem. I'm going to Dexter. You don't do that. You just walk. You walk into a space like you are entering into a building. Why? The church is the people. He said you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is at work in his church. We are the representative of God here. So the local church is the only institution that will last forever. At the point of death, marriage ceases. At the point of death, or during war, the beautiful things around us, they are destroyed. But it's only the church that began here and will last through eternity. The church doesn't die. The church will never die. As a matter of fact, the church has outlived both our lovers and haters. If you have been around here, I've been around for some few days in Christianity in Nigeria. There are many people who have threatened the church in Nigeria. The church outlived them. So, both lovers and haters. There are many people who made up their mind to stamp out the church. And the interesting thing that has happened, they have either joined the church. I mean, I can name names now. People who have written books. People who have said things. They have either joined the church by coming into the loving relationship with the head of the church, or some have been trumped out. So it is therefore wisdom for any one of us if we are part of what will last forever. It's only the church that gives the assurance of life after. It's only the church. That's why he said, Christ in you. Colossians 1:27. The hope of glory. Christ in you. He said, for the suffering of the present moment. So there are things, challenges in the physical. Does not what compare to the glory which have been revealed in us. It's only the church that makes such statement. He makes all things beautiful in his time. It's only the church that you can hear such statement. We sang those songs this morning. It's only the church that you can say there is a strength that is above our physical strength. There is a life that is above our natural life. So the local church lasts forever. And the call to be part of any local church is a call to salvation. And when you and I heed that call to salvation, we do not only join the local church, but we choose to share the life of God. That's what happened. There is an expression of life. I mean, this morning you will agree with me. Just coming into this space, and then the ministry of music was stirred up. There was a flow. I don't know about you, there was an energy. There was a strength. That's what the church does. Life. Life. But we must be part of that life. Because in this service this morning, this chair has also came for service. But we must choose this life and share it. This life that I am is a life of God in me. This life that I have is a life of God. Zoe, 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 Zoe. That's the life of God. It's rejuvenating. It replenishes. It refreshing. It multiplies. It doesn't diminish. It flows in abundance. And you can, if that life is activated in any life, you can share it with anyone. And everyone will be satisfied. Local church. The church is a gift from God to humanity. The church is a gift. That's what Jesus was saying. He said, who do you think that I am? They said, you are Christ. You are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And that's the revelation which the church stands on. And Jesus said, Peter, definitely this, you are not speaking from the natural perspective. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Say, blessed are you for you to have, to pick things on this frequency. He said, my Father who is in heaven is the only one who has the capacity to receive, to reveal this to you. I know someone is asking questions. So Peter is the cornerstone of the church. No, I know some teaching addresses that. No. The revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That's the revelation which this church stands on. So the church is a gift from God to humanity. True local churches, listen to this, please. God has brought people into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. True local churches, the poor have received the gospel. True local churches, bodies of people have been healed. True local churches, marriages have been strengthened. True local churches, the sick has been cared for. True local churches, people have been encouraged in their faith through difficult times. True local churches, young people have received direction. True local churches, people have been trained to advance the cause of the gospel of Christ. The local church is one of the major ways which God brings his grace to mankind. And if you look around you today, different kinds of churches or local churches meet the very needs of humanity. That's the church. That's, it can't die. As long as there are humans here, and as long as the church is still here, the devil can unleash his mystery of iniquity. And I say that with all boldness, that is rooted in the word of God. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell. It's not that it won't prevail, but it will not prevail against it. It's not that it won't try. The greatest assault known to mankind has been upon the church. The greatest abuse that you can ever think of has been upon the church. But the church has survived it. And that's the part of family that you belong to. It simply also suggests, no matter the challenges of life, no matter the problem of life, it will not overcome you because you are part of the church, which is the family of God. And Jesus said, I will build my church. God is building your life. He's building my life. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Can I have an amen this morning? So what is the need for a local church? Local church like this. Number one, the church has been purposed by God from eternity. So, if the church will not die, if the church will endure till eternity, wisdom demands as human beings, because we have the capacity, we are created to live forever, but we are not, we can't live here. Eh? This natural life, we can't live it like this forever. By the time you are 60, 70, 80, the strength diminishes. So this body must go back to its source. Praise God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, it talks about something to tell us that the church of God has been purposed from eternity. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. It said, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose. That's what I want to bring out. So there is an eternal purpose that the gates of hell shall not prevail. There is an eternal purpose which has been accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why we have boldness. That's why we can have access with confidence. Jesus said in Luke 10, 19, I'm saying this morning, I don't know who this word is for. It has been challenges of late. But he says to you this morning by the word of the Lord, Behold, I give you. Don't back out. He said, I give you. I give you the authority. I give you the delegated authority. I understand in human culture that a king may not be present at a ceremony. But what do they do? They have what is called the staff of office. They put the staff of office in front of an empty seat. But every recognition, every accolade that is due to that king is given at such occasion. That is the way you and I stand in our world. We are the salt of this heart. We are the light of this world. We are a city set upon the hill. We cannot be hidden. It's the life of God that we have. And we must exercise that authority. And we are covered in the bid to exercise that authority. It says nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. It means nothing. Nothing means nothing. It means nothing. It means of no effect. Even if it's a confederacy, he says, surely they shall gather. But because their gathering is not of him. Even if it's an association, he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, it is condemned. You have an heritage with God. And it's an heritage of righteousness. Can I have an amen this morning? Amen. That's the church. We are not weaklings. We are not a bunch of weak people trying to manage true life. I'm probably sing that song. This world is not my home. I'm just in passing through. No, we are passing through, but we are making mark. We are making mark in our society. We are making mark, bringing many sons into glory. The second need for a church is that it's built by Jesus Christ. Matthew 16:18. I know one of the challenges is for any of us whom God is using to think that this is all about us. No. The church is built on Jesus Christ. He said, I will build my church. It's his church. And that's why we need to be. It doesn't matter human weaknesses that have eroded into the church. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. I know Lighthouse must have a face. But hey, ultimately, in my heart, in the ministry expression, this church belongs to God. Whether I accept it or not, I cannot move a shaking demon. But he said, when the enemy comes, like a flood, I raise up a standard. So I need to hide under that grace. Who is taller than me here this morning? I used to use Sadiq. But Sadiq is not here. Come, Toby. I just want to explain something. Huh? He's not taller than me, but I will still use him. So this is Jesus. Huh? So I come into him. Can you stretch your hands? So my life is hidden in him. So if I'm confronting any enemy, they don't see me. That's why Paul says, not having my own righteousness. So he paid the price. He spoiled principalities and powers. He made a public show of them. He went to the cross. He did not rest there. He went to hell. He took the keys of Hades. And he came out and gave it to me and many sons. So assuming all of us are lined up like that in this room, when they see us, we are the light of the world. This is the shining light. When this light enters into any dark area, it shines brighter and brighter.
That is the church. The moment I pull out myself off the line, I am on my own. O-Y-O-F-M. Thank you. So when the arrow comes, who takes it? So as long as I'm under that covering of grace, of mercy, nothing shall by any means hurt me. Even when I know literally what to do, I ask him. And the Bible talks about him. Hebrews 7:25. His ministry still continues. He said he lives to make intercession for the saints. I'm going somewhere this morning because there are many things that have crept in. The church is not, it's not a hater. The church is love. The church doesn't mismanage people's lives. The church gives life. There might have been human influences. But hey, the original intention still stands. So the church is built by Jesus Christ. Number three, closely related, the church is purchased by Jesus' blood. Acts 20:28. The church has been purchased. So my branding, my identity, my CV is to be who represents Jesus, or who is Jesus to us. He said, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. What is my duty? To shepherd the church of God. Can you see again? Which he purchased with his own blood. The truth is that this morning, thank God you are a member of Lighthouse Community of Believers, but I can't die for you, or I didn't die for you. So we gathered around the name this morning. We gathered around his word. It's still his name. We gathered around the author of life. In few hours, we leave this place. It becomes like an ordinary place again. So the church is not the building that we see, even though we need somewhere. I mean, over time, people were actually meeting in people's houses when people's houses couldn't contain them. That was the genesis of having like an auditorium like this. That's why later you can go read it at home. Acts 8:1. Acts 13:1. Acts 8:1. Acts 13:1. Romans 16:1. Acts 13:1. Romans 16:1. 1 Corinthians 1:2. 2 Corinthians 1:11. 1 Thessalonians 1:1. 2 Thessalonians 1:1. It talks about church in people's houses. So we are purchased by Jesus' blood. Number four, the church is household, family of God. It's a household. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, Ephesians 2:16, it said that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Verse 19 of Ephesians 2, he said, now therefore, because he has breached the grab, we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Number five, the church is the body over which Christ is the head. The church is the body. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. The church is the body which Christ is the head. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. He said, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He said, which is his body, the fullness who fills all in all. That thing that I demonstrated to you. So he is the head, and then we are his body because we are infused into him. And many sons like that who has come into that loving relationship. So all saved people are headed to the church. In other words, when you come and acknowledge the sacrifice of Jesus, and then you confess what he did on the cross, and then the Bible says you are saved. So when you are saved, you are added to the family of God. So please, I want you to please take note of this. The church is purposed by God, built by Jesus Christ, purchased by his blood, and then bring many into the family of God. It's purposed by God. So it's the idea of God. It's built by Jesus Christ, by the sacrifice. And then he purchased people by his own blood. And then we come into a loving relationship, into his family. So the church is important in our world today because of our ties to God. What am I saying this morning? Wherever you find yourself, you cannot succeed as floating members of local churches. You can't. It's like you plant something, you plant corn, and then within the 90 days, you are just uprooting it from one place to another. No, you can't. You can't. As long as you are a member of the body of Christ, you have to be planted. You have to be rooted. We can't succeed as floating members of a local church. There is need for commitment. Our God is a God of grace and commitment. And you will know this. God is fully committed to us. John 3:16. He's fully committed to us. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then he's committed to us because we are called to love. We are called to love. Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. How do we express this love? We love the Lord our God with all our heart. Mark 12, 30 and 31. And then with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. He said, this is the first commandment. And he said, the second is like it. Verse 31. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, there is no greater commandment. There is no other commandment greater than this. How we are called, that's the third aspect. So God is fully committed to us by sending his son to love us. And then we are called to love. And then we are called to love our brothers and sisters. 1 John 3:16. We are called. We are called to love our brothers and sisters. In the Old Testament, it's usually a tooth for a tooth. Revenge is the order of day. But in the New Testament, he said, this is how we can describe love. Jesus laid his life for us. And we also ought to lay our lives. In other words, we must be committed to God. We must be committed to one another. And love is the only way. How do we demonstrate commitment? Quickly. How do we demonstrate commitment? One area is to Christ. And the other area is to a Christ-honored church. Number one, what is expected of us? Number one, devoted to God and the scriptures. We must. There is no other hiding place in our world today except in God and his word. So everyone who is part of the local church, to keep under that umbrella, you must be devoted to God and the scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, 2 Timothy, he said, all scriptures, we must not choose the ones that are convenient for us. all scripture. Because when we embrace all, this is what it does for us. It's been given by the inspiration of God to us, to you, to me. And it is profitable. So it doesn't hurt us when we choose to obey. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof. In other words, we don't keep up to the standard. It challenges us to a greater level of commitment. And then when we miss it, for correction. And then if we don't miss it and we are on the right track, for further instruction to strengthen our faith walk. That's instruction in righteousness. So that at the end of the day, you and I who are part of the body of Christ, we may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work in our world. So we must, number one, be devoted to God. And then secondly, be committed to live a life of love. I can't force you. You can't force me. But hey, if the world is, there's one song, walking on the inside, showing forth on the outside. There's one song we used to sing in fellowship. Jesus on the inside, walking on the outside. Jesus on the inside, walking on the outside. It's a song of commitment. So we must be committed to live a life of love. And what does that life? Be kind. Kindness is that life. Care is that life. Service is that life. Giving is that life. You know, we started last week by dealing with the concept of individualism. I think part of our problem as a people in our own nation here, and because it shows when someone is in an accident, someone is looking for how to sell video that they made to Chinese news. People are not kind. So you see someone drowning, everybody is pulling down their phone. No, someone needs help. Rite of passage on the road is something. Even if you don't know how to do first care, you can use that same phone and call. Maybe for us who are believers, can we deliberately have emergency lines on our phones? FRSC, the police, let them be our friend. Just a call. There is an accident. I am traveling Lagos to Ibadan. There is an accident at Sagam Interchange. Can you please let us rise to the occasion? And sometimes, when people get to those accident scenes, they are peeping. How can you imagine somebody who is already dead and somebody is removing their neck chains? God is not going to come down to do all these things. It's you and I. When we find ourselves in spaces, kindness, care. We are still good here. In terms of living, because we live in community, some people still respect the elderly. I believe personally that some of these things, when you sum it up together, they are the things that bring curse on any nation. Some people have spent their years working, and then they retire, and then they assume they had a pension fund. Somebody puts it in excess of billions. And gets to court and he's smiling. That's wickedness. Kindness. And then service. As an employee, you are working for someone. You say, because you don't want to be used, you are not serving. You can never get a business. It's not a cause. Because Whoever is faithful, we can't be breaking the scriptures and want blessing of God. Whoever is not faithful in what is in other people's cannot be faithful when responsibility is committed into their hands. Service. And then giving. Giving. I want a G-Wagon, but someone is still looking for 5,000 to buy jam for. That's the way this world is. You are looking, nobody has enough. Do you know that? The richest people around here, they are still looking for bank loans. So it means at this part of eternity, really, really nothing satisfies. So, but as believers, we must put premium with what is important. I want to buy a new car. That's it. Someone needs 250,000 naira to do a surgery. Many people may not think about it, but the nature of God in us should be sensitive to it. So committed to live a life of love. That's the Christianity. In Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 16, can you give us a message? Romans 12, 9 to 16. Let's quickly glance at it. It said, love from the center of who you are. He said, don't fake it. Run for their life from evil. Hold on for their life to good. Don't burn out. No, be good friends. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. Be alert, servant of the master. Can you do TPT for us? I'm looking for a certain word. Romans 12, 9 to 16. Let the inner movement of your heart, this is what I'm working for. Let your motivation of your heart always be to love one another. Never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. Be devoted. Yeah, these are the words I'm looking for. To tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves. That's the only thing we should do, to outdo ourselves. He said, in respect and honor of one another. Don't be a snob. Don't look down on people. Don't, even when you give, don't give as if you are doing somebody a favor. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. Keep your passion towards Him boiling up, radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit, and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. I serve God, and I know every one of us in this room do. I'm not under any pressure. I'm not. Those who compare themselves with themselves are not wise. I celebrate your race. I celebrate your work, but I'm not under pressure for performance. If you run a business in this room, let that be your motivation. That business in your heart, treat it with respect and honor. Not everybody will run business. And then as you journey with this, do it enthusiastically. Whatever you can buy in January, you can buy it in December. And then, demonstrating commitment, the third one, is by actively praying with and for the church. You pray with other believers, and then you pray for the church. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 8, there are things, there are things, you see, most of the time when we don't get answers to prayer, maybe we should check are we praying about? What are we praying for? In James chapter 4, he said, you ask and you do not receive. You ask because you want to consume it on your lust. So what are the things that the Bible says we should pray for? First Timothy chapter 2 gives us an insight, for example. And they are the very things we don't want to do. He said, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. What do we have? We pray for ourselves first. But he said, pray for others. He said, for kings, a lot of people don't want to pray for their country. And all who are in authority, a lot of people hate their local government chairman. That we may lead. He said, but when you obey the word, he said, what that will translate for us, because we own business in that local government, we work in that local government, what it will translate for us when we choose God's way is that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. You know, if there is a war, we can't gather here this morning. There are people who have lost their homes in the Northeast. They've lost churches. They've lost businesses. Even the trauma, and that they're still alive. We can pray for other people. I know business may not be working, but can we shift a little bit and do the work, praying as the word demanded, and see whether business will not work? So actively praying with and for the church. Number four, using your spiritual gift in ministry as a supportive minister. In 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11, you must use your spiritual gift. I don't know where we got that thing. Sunday school, while I was growing up, when they want to teach parable of talent, they will say that guy went and hid his soul in inside cloth and put it somewhere. No, I don't know where we got it, but it just came to me now. He hid it somewhere. He didn't say he hid it inside cloth. He just hid it. He said, as each one, so everyone in this room, we may not occupy the fivefold ministry as it were, but everyone in this room as fivefold ministry gift, as support, we are all supportive ministers. So each one has received a gift. Maybe if you don't know, ask him. Did he make you? He made you. There's something he put in your life that no one else in this room has. That's how unique that thing is. He said, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, because as you use it, that's when it grows. He said, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So if he's speaking, speak like an oracle of God. If he's to just minister, be available to serve, serve with the ability which God supplies, that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And you know, he's the Holy Spirit. So the Trinity is involved in our lives. God is glorified. There is ability. Is glorified through Jesus Christ. There is also the ability that the Holy Spirit gives us. Number five. Be committed and generous to your local church. Be committed. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, concerning the collections for the saints, I have given orders to churches of Galatia, so you must do also. Verse 2. That on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there will be no collections when I come. So every believer who is part of a local assembly should give generously to the work of God in that local assembly. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, My time is up, but I just want to complete something today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Said, let him who is taught in the world share in all good things with him who teaches. So be generous. Be generous. That's one of the ways to measure our commitment. Number six, faithful in attendance and fellowship with others. Faithful in attendance. There is something fellowship after fellowship does. I mean, I don't know how many people I will meet after fellowship today. But your warm handshake to someone, your engagement, asking somebody, oh, this thing that you shared with me the other time, how far? Can be the healing, can be the word of the Lord in a service to someone. You know, Christianity affords us that opportunity. And I believe in my heart, I may be wrong, everything that is needed in the local church is there. The people, the connection. But when we don't engage, we probably don't know. There is a miracle in every house. Hebrews 10:25, we read that. TPT, last week or 2 weeks ago. Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25 said, this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting people, meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. That's the whole essence of having programs, having units, having groups, so that we can foster that thing. There is something fellowship does. Psalm 133 verses 1 to 3 does it. It said, how good and lovely it is. It said, how truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. What happened? It said, it is as precious as the sacred scented oil that flow from the head of the high priest, Aaron dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to hem of his priestly robes. He said, this heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. From this realm of sweet harmony, God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life forevermore. Number seven, live in a loving and honoring relationship with the leaders of your church. Live in a loving and honoring relationship. Wherever you find yourself, that's the order of God. Live in a loving and honoring relationship with the elders of the church that you serve in. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 5. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 5. It said, the elders who are among you exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sovereign of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. It says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseer, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the sheep shepherd shall appear, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I close with one thing that is bothering us in the body of Christ. The church. Look at my hands, everyone. This is the unity that God expects in the church. But in the church, majority of us, we live a supportive ministry. So this is what we do. When you enter a local church, this is what you do. So everybody support their hands to see the cause of Jesus glorified in that local church. But look at my hands. As long as this is together, it's in unity. So these represent the fivefold ministry gift. This is a pastor of the local church. Invisible, probably weak, unassuming, vulnerable. That's when you have a church that has a shepherd with a shepherd's heart. This morning I'm magnifying my ministry. Some churches that you see, they are either pioneered by evangelists, prophets, teachers, apostles. But this man, and that's why some of those churches over time, because of the greater responsibility of their calling, they have what is called the resident pastor, so that they can go and do greater things. But every local church that you see, so that person is there. He has the capacity to touch every other ministry gift. So in a local church like ours, there may be prophets here, there may be apostles here, there may be teachers here. But usually, the pastor can teach. But he has that. You can try it with your hand. There is no other finger. That's why Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you pastors after my own heart. So this is the problem that we have encountered in the body of Christ over this season. When this person is not secured, that's what causes breakaway and all these things. But a church can have fully this ministry gift. Because when you read Ephesians 4, it says for the edification of the body, to train people for the work of the ministry. So the fivefold is needed. That's the order of God. This is one of the things that is affecting the church. There is no place here that is called fellowship. There are fellowships in town now that is doing the work of the church. I'm not condemning it. It's because of the dissatisfaction. But there is no president of a fellowship. It's not a ministry gift. And I can tell you many of these things. I've been around for a few days, but I've seen the move of God. The before Gospel Businessmen Fellowship, when it came, it was that thing that we need to make impact in the business space in the society. And so that thing came to Nigeria. It was actually brought in by Archbishop Benson Edauza. They were not meeting Sunday morning. The same thing. There was a time the move of God, the church was trying to reach the younger people. So the scripture union, the night first came. They were also not meeting Sunday morning. What am I saying? There is schism in the church at the moment. But in spite of those schism, I'm not going to analyze it. The church, this is how the church is. The church has a local pastor. And wherever you are, maybe not necessarily here, anywhere you find yourself, when you find yourself in a local church, get to talk to the pastor. Let them have proper oversight. You can't be floating. President of fellowship don't cover you when life hits. They just commiserate with you. Somebody say it's true. So please, and when you enter a local church, like I said last week, I'm not teaching this thing because there is a problem in Lighthouse. No, I'm just trying to set order. lets you understand it. There are many things that many people in the body of Christ, some for you, is not necessary. You can't, when you find yourself in a church, don't be unruly. And the moment you know you can't submit to the eldership, leadership, whether in teams, in units of that church, leave for your own sake. It's that those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. So God is interested in your growth, in your increase, in your expansion, in your fruitfulness, even much more than you ever imagine. But God has also put us in units, in families. You see, in a natural family, if somebody is the black sheep, it gives concern to the whole family. You can't be working with God. I can't be working in God. And I have no evidence. So if I have no evidence, it may be that I'm walking out of order. And it may also be that most of the things, because we live in a culture that loves to blame other people, that doesn't take responsibility, we rather shift blame to other people. We always shift blame to the devil. And we aggregate the power that he does not have to him. I'm sure you'll be shocked in heaven. It's just because would have been changed. I'm sure you will be shocked in heaven if the devil is asked to talk. He will tell you that, hey, God, I just have a problem with this, your children. Many of the things that they said I did, I was not even aware. I was not even aware. See, in closing this morning, I know the church at the moment globally has a challenge. But please understand, it does not distort the order of God. It does not distort the intention of God when he said, I will build my church. There is something that is infused into his church. It is called power. It is called authority. It is called dominion. And it's supposed to be used not to fight one another, but to be used to make impact in our world. I believe you got what I said this morning. So please, please, what you need to do when you find yourself in any local church anywhere, protect the unity of your church. In other words, my attitude, it matters. I may not interface with many people, but you may be the one to interface for it. Let's see ourselves as a body. No one take razor blade and cut himself. If I start to do that now, I'm sure the men, they will just consult that, Taloni Mosuju, let's rush this man and help him out. Because what do people do? You nourish the body. Church is not for perfect people. So you will find brothers, sisters who are not perfect. Some people use their mouth in excess sauces. If you don't have verbal power, you may have challenge with such people. Before you say one, they have said six. And before you are trying to remember what they have said, they said, I said so. They said, my own Christianity is not mumu. And if you move near me, you collect the next time. So you have people. You have people. But hey, let's focus. We are brothers. We are sisters. Do you know that when you and I close our eyes in death, they won't talk about Iodanes? No. Is Io the family of God? He's been redeemed. He's been accepted. He's been forgiven. He's been justified. He had access to come. That's the thing. But there's something that the Bible described. He said, the one who had this army, he said, he rides on a white horse. And he said, on his thigh is written the word of God, the faithful and the just one. That's the binding thing. The blood of Jesus, The word of God, the name of Jesus is our binding connection. Let's focus on it. There are many things that unite us. Many, many things that unite us more than the things that separate us. And we can focus on that. If you get on the social media space today, hey, I tell you, under God, an Ifa priest will never criticize anything against the church because they don't know. They don't know your hymns. They don't know your sermon. They don't know Mark. They don't know John. Most of the things we read on the social media are written by people who are disgruntled with church. But the church is still that platform that God used in changing lives. So please, as we go this week, let our hearts be rekindled. I know people have opinion. Oh, they've been hurt in that church. They've been hurt by that man. They've been hurt by... That's why they call them men of God. They are not God. They are men of God. Maybe what you need to also do to help your healing process is to see your confidence. Is it actually in Christ or in a man? Is it actually in Christ or in a St. Daniel's church? May the Lord give us understanding. I declare this week as a week of divine favor, as a week of divine health. Lines will continually fall unto you in pleasant places because you have a goodly heritage in this God. The presence of the Lord will be evident in your family this week. It will be evidence in the work of your hand this week. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,